You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Welcome back, everybody, to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. I am your host, once again, Breno, and joining me is none other than the golden boy, proverbial son, 365 days of horror, or as we like to call him, Jordan. Jordan, how you doing today?
Doing okay. How are you?
Good. Notably, Joe is absent once again this week, still without power, still dealing with all the bullshit going on in Austin, Texas, where the entire state essentially is ironically up in flames, regardless of the fact that they're covered in ice.
He is currently Wu-Tang Clan tattoo high, full of snow and ice. But I think some things are starting to turn around, hopefully, mostly thanks to people outside of the state raising millions of dollars and actually trying to help, unlike certain elected officials who fled the fucking country.
Yeah, your boy Ted Cruz hit a plane and got the fuck out of there. And he blamed his daughters, remember that?
He was just they wanted to go on a vacation.
The daughters that won't let him give him a smooch on camera. Those same daughters, just imagine it.
He is really just reviled by people mostly across political, religious, socioeconomic, different regions and spaces, and yet he's probably going to get reelected again in 4 years somehow.
I think Texans, as far, red state Texans, I think they just love the rattiest, just nastiest, most underground, vile sewer creature they can possibly elect. That just seems to be the course for them. So, good on them for Ted Cruz. He's doing an excellent job. I saw him for a photograph pick up one pack of bottled water and put it in someone's car. So
it reminds me of back when Mitt Romney was running for president and Paul Ryan was his vice presidential choice.
Yeah.
They went to him and his family went to some shelter and put on aprons and washed already clean pots and pans just so that they can take a picture for it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm officially retiring from politics for the next 4 years. I know we have an adult back in charge, essentially, who's not keeping any of his promises per usual Democratic adult in charge. So, I'm just going to roll through America for another 4 years and, I'll wake up and see what happens the next time around. Right. That seems fair to everybody. Are we okay with that?
I mean, after the past 4 years, I'm more than okay with that.
Yeah. I think we all deserve collectively a break from that whole shit show. I would like my fucking $2,000. I really would. Or my $1,400. Or maybe another $10. Any fucking money would be nice.
But it is kind of funny how it just went from, we're going to do it, to we're going to do a little less, to just meh.
And, well,
I don't know. What are we going to do about it? Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. They're just kind of hoping that we stop making the memes about it and we move on.
I mean, that's all you really got, isn't it?
I promise everybody that in 2 or 3 years, I'm going to be bringing it up when the next election cycle comes around. I'm going to be bringing up the money that we never got. I'm going to be bringing it up nonstop when we're talking about how just he didn't do that and he sucks. But, we'll wait until that. Until then, I'm not going to be going on CNN.com, not going to be going on MSNBC.com, Fox News, Drudge Report, whatever. I mean, those places are just too politically slanted, Jordan. I need unbiased, real news from someone that I can trust.
There was another big news story this week, and that is vile ghoul Rush Limbaugh finally kicked the bucket. And I didn't find out this news from New York Times or any of those places. I found out because human troll Mortis posted on his Facebook page, Rush Limbaugh is dead, comma, apparently.
Yeah,
Why is Mortis saying that?
Yeah, apparently Mortis on his Facebook page which is a verified Facebook page. You do have a blue check mark.
It's not all those fake Mortises out there.
Right. It's not the, don't accept any substitutions. This is the real deal. Mortis, the man behind Mortis. He Facebook posted Rush Limbaugh is dead, apparently. And, that's how that went. He just had to let that one out. So that's what I'm going to do on Facebook, of course, is I'm going to follow the Mortis page and any breaking headlines that I need to be aware of in the future, I'm going to get it directly from Mortis.
This is breaking news from the Mortis News Network.
Good evening. You're watching the Mortis News Network and I am Mortis. Today, an Alaska woman using an outhouse was attacked by a bear from below. An Alaska woman had the scare of a lifetime when using an outhouse in the backcountry, and she was attacked by a bear from below. I got out there and sat down on the toilet, and immediately something bit my right butt as I sat down, Shannon Stevens told the Associated Press on Thursday. I jumped up and a scream went and happened. Wow! A bear biting you from the bottom of an outhouse, and that's what I call a shitty situation.
The real Mortis.
The true Mortis. Because like I said, I mean, this guy, he has no skin in the game in terms of American politics, because he's from Norway.
He is.
Rush Limbaugh, is he known in Norway? Do we have any Norwegian listeners that can give me some insight on that? Is he a figure that Norwegians discuss?
I'm curious as to if people outside of the United States know who he is and hate him as much as millions and millions of other people do. If when you die, the common phrase is rest in piss from millions of people about you, you fucked up somewhere along the way.
Yeah, and as people have been sharing throughout, we all kind of had a little bit of a social media party when he finally just, when lung cancer finally took the man from us, like we were just so pleased. And of course, every time you do this, you get the sad saps who, whine and complain about how you can't ding dong the witch is dead people, and that's so rude and that's so horrible. Because death isn't funny and there's nothing to joke about when it comes to death. But Rush Limbaugh had a long-running segment on his show where he would like play party whistles and music and read a list off of people who died from AIDS. Like, I can't remember what decade it was, but he did do that. I like vividly remember that happening.
See, were you subjected to having to listen to him? Because I've seen a lot of people say, I grew up in a conservative household. I had to listen to this, blah, blah. Apparently I'm very lucky because I never had to deal with that ever.
Well, your father's, rest his soul, he was probably a good person, at least to a point of not having fucking Rush Limbaugh on the radio. And yeah. I'll give it up to my parents. Thanks for nothing else, but, you didn't put Rush Limbaugh on the radio. Thank you. No, specifically what it was and anyone who doesn't like me can use this as bait to just get me mad or make fun of me. But I was in special education programs for the majority of my time and elementary and middle school because I was one of those kids that teachers did not want to deal with. I didn't want to pay attention. I didn't do homework. I would just like walk out of class because I hated it kind of a thing. I just had a fucking bad attitude. And if you have a terrible attitude, you go to the, they make a education plan for you. And then you end up going to programs for like kids who are actually disabled and actually have learning problems. That's just because they have nowhere else to stick you if you back in those times.
And imagine if a public school actually paid to have like a staff psychologist or someone for you to talk to where they could realize that it's not a learning problem, it's just you don't like being there.
Yeah, exactly. So they stuck me in that program, but they didn't have one in my town's school. So what I had to do was I had to get in the old classic white van. And I had to be driven probably 20 to 30 miles to a town way out of the way. I had to wake up at like 4 in the morning when I was a little fucking kid. It was awful.
Which is great for the learning experience, too. You want kids to be sleep deprived. That's how they learn.
Absolutely. Just, checking all the boxes on my growth there and my developing mind. Just perfect for everything and led to the traumatized pile you have before you. But anyway. On this white bus was this old, smoky, horrible bitch of a lady who was just like, if I could write a screenplay about just like a ludicrous, comedically mean old bus driver lady, And people would, you know, see the lines delivered and be like, that's an exaggeration. That's not real. It was this lady. She was awful. She would curse at us. She would remind us that we were driving around in a white van when we were being bad. She was just a horrible lady. But to top it all off, she was just blaring at maximum volume so she didn't have to hear us. Rush Limbaugh all day, every day on that fucking radio.
Great.
Yeah. It was just so awesome getting to hear him talk about. I think it was like Bill Clinton was a big deal at the time, of course, because this was when I was very young. So he would always bitch and suck and whine and fucking cry and moan about just Bill Clinton doing anything for the most part.
He had Limbaugh had a TV show briefly for a while, and I believe one of his biggest downfalls was a joke in which he said the White House has a new dog and showed a picture of like 12-year-old Chelsea Clinton.
Yeah,
that's the type of person we're dealing with here, on top of like what you said about people dying of AIDS, when he jerked and moved around on camera mimicking Michael J. Fox's Parkinson's. Just that's the tip of the iceberg of how awful this person was. And for whatever reason, Mortis went out of his way as the Mortis News Network to inform people that this horrible man died.
Bear with me. There is a follow-up post that he made.
Okay.
So he said, Limbaugh died. Are you feeling it, Robertson? That's all he wrote. Do we know who Robertson is? Is that someone else I should be aware of?
Robertson's a pretty common name.
If I type
do people say in the comments, like, what are you talking about? Right. Robertson who?
Robertson. Maybe we're showing our ass during this, but I'm just not aware. I have no idea what the fuck he's talking about.
Justice Robertson?
Katie Robertson from Fox News? I don't know, because New York Times won't let me read their articles anymore because they want my email address and they're not fucking getting it.
Incognito mode.
Limbaugh Robertson remarks criticized. Robertson said that Haiti has been cursed because of what he called the pact with the devil in his history. Pat Robertson. He's the evangel. Okay. He's the evangelist.
The 700 broadcaster. Club?
Yeah, Pat Robertson.
Okay.
All right.
So why Mortis, is Mortis talking about Pat Robertson?
I think Mortis is on the side of good. I'm going to assume like he's just kind of,
I think I've read some interviews with him where he said some not good things. Oh. So, we'll table that idea, but again,
okay. Let's bench that one then.
But Mortis, the Norwegian elf troll,
mm-hmm.
is talking about American right-wing politics, which is fine. It just seems very out of place. Like I guess with social media now, there's really been a removal for a lot of bands and acts of their like mysterious nature. Like going back to the message board days, you might just see a picture of Mortis and just wonder like, what's this guy's deal? I want to look into it. And that was just on Facebook and on Twitter, just yakking away, making jokes. And, you know, I guess part of that is good because, you know, they're all just gimmicks.
But right.
At the same time, oh, you're just a dork.
Right. And I mean, like, look, Norwegian elf troll, I don't think that's very fair. He is a flying Norwegian elf troll. Okay. He is capable of flight. He has wings. Let's never, ever forget that.
The Mortis News Network, he just flaps in on his leathery wings, tells you what's going on, and then flies away in his jorts.
Yeah. Essentially, what he does is he comes to your window as a Norwegian child at night, and he just fucking swings that bad boy open and screams at you while you're sleeping, just making you awake so that you hear about American conservative news broadcasters dying.
He scratches his claws against the window, you open them up, and he gives you an update on coronavirus deaths in your area.
Yeah, he just throws like some kind of euro coin into, you know, your floorboards there for your troubles.
It's a paid streaming service. That's what it is.
Yeah, right.
You pay $9.99 a month, and you get news directly told to you in the dead of night.
Right, but randomly. We're talking like several, you know, most of it is him just posting old photos of himself on Facebook. But every once in a while, you're going to get the Mortis news at night. So there you go. Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll keep you posted on any breaking Mortis news in the future. Man, it's been a long pandemic. That's all I gotta say.
We're almost up to a year, at least for me, of working from home. I got like 3-4 more weeks, and then it's a full year, and I'm really questioning how I'm ever going to go back into an office again after this.
I'm dealing with that anniversary anniversary effect, just because this was the exact same time around last year when I got fired from my other job. Like, I just was like, why do I want to throw a brick in their window more than usual? I've kind of forgotten about it. But then it's like, I don't know, the anniversary effect is a real thing. When something traumatic and shitty happened to you, like a year ago or years ago, around that same time that year, just subconsciously you're on edge. And, it happened. Like, for instance, when November 2017 rolled around for all of us, we were like, why are all of us good people feeling so horrible all of a sudden? Like, you know, Thanksgiving's about to happen. We should be in a better mood. But then we recalled, oh yeah, the nation fucked up in the worst possible way a year prior.
This is breaking news from the Mortis News Network.
Thank you for tuning in to the Mortis News Network. I am Mortis. Customs inspectors find cocaine coated cornflakes in Ohio. In Cincinnati, Ohio, Associated Press reports customs authorities in Ohio say they intercepted a shipment of cereal earlier this morning with a special frosting. Cocaine. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers in Cincinnati reporting finding 44 pounds, or 20 kilograms if you don't measure things like a nincompoop, of cocaine-coated cornflakes that had been shipped from South America to a Hong Kong home. Wow, you want to talk about snow, you come back to Norway, but, you know, you can't be a flying bat elf man if you not had just some cocaine before. Okay, back to the show, thank you.
And then you buy yourself a cake or something to feel better.
Yeah, but we can go back in time a bit more. I'm talking specifically about 2018. Back in 2018, and I mean, man, remember being in 2018, you just had no idea how good you had it. You were going to shows, you were going to bars, you were going to restaurants, you were going to movie theaters. 2018, if you asked me if it was a good year in 2018, of course I would have fucking said no. Of course I would have. And the first thing I said to you was, no fucking way, this year sucks. But we just didn't know it was coming. So
little did we know.
Little did we know. Just 2018, Breno had no clue. In 2018, August 22nd, 2018, at a Hard Rock Cafe I guess I shouldn't say Hard Rock Cafe. It's a Hard Rock venue. It's a little different. It's a show in Las Vegas.
The chicken fingers aren't as good.
Right. The chicken fingers are a little drier. Attila, it's a little band that we all know and love, fronted by Chris Fronczak of the only fame that they're of completely is MTV Made. And I will always remind you all of that. The only reason Attila is famous is because of MTV Made, where the
never forget,
never ever forget that. That's the reason you know about them. So the front man, Chris Fronczak, he abruptly ended the band's show in Las Vegas. And while he was doing it, he attacked security guards, because he accused them of violence against his fans. So now, just like we're talking like this year, the 19th of February, the security guards are now going to sue the band over these actions. So you can see a video of Franz kind of losing it. And what he does is he goes up to the one specific security guard, like this big, huge mountain of a black guy that would definitely kick his ass 7 times over very easily. And he goes up behind him while the guy's just standing there, and he just punches him right in the back of the head. He just curses them all out for beating up on his fans. And then he throws what looks like, I think it's like his microphone stand, or maybe it was an instrument stand, at some of the security guards. I'll see if I can get you guys some audio from that.
Fuck your shit! Fuck this shit! We're never playing Vegas again! You lost this shit because you're bullshit security motherfuckers! This dude right here... You fucking bitch, dude! Fuck you, you pussy bitch! Fuck you, bitch! You're gonna kick out our fucking fans because they cross you? Fuck you! Fuck you! You fucking bitch! For life, you fucking god bitch! Oh, yeah! Fuck you!
Now they put the lights on. Very tough, very scary.
Fuck you, bitch.
Fuck you, bitch. You a bitch. You're a bitch.
It is funny to hear that repeated by what clearly sounds like a child in the video.
I think Franz might be our age, maybe a little older. He's got a little baby man voice. What can I say? Like, just very high-pitched and whiny and scared.
The line of parents having to pick up their kids after that show must have been immense.
Yeah. A lot of upset text messages, probably. A lot of upset parents who had to leave their romantic date early because the Attila fans had to be picked up early.
I mean, way to make Las Vegas a better place by promising Attila will never play there again.
Right. So what had happened was Contemporary Services Corporation, the company who provided security at the event, they filed charges with the Las Vegas police, which makes sense because Franz actually punched the guy. It's on video.
Assaulted someone.
Yeah. And I mean, like, we'll get into more what he was saying and things like that. But here he is on video. He straight up punched the guy. The accusation alleged that Franz Ack sucker punched two security guards and a third guard was hit with a guitar in the back. I didn't see that happen, but, you know, obviously this is just like a 10-second video. I can't see everything. So that was believed to be the bassist, Kalon Blem. It's not clear whether anything came of those charges. Like, I didn't hear about anyone getting arrested or anything like that. So Franzek took to Twitter to defend himself, saying, "Man, I wish y'all could see everything I saw from my point of view. Of course, the videos only show me after I fucking snapped. The videos don't show these abusive motherfuckers that were choking my fans and power slamming them into the concrete." This past Wednesday, February 7th, more than 2 years after the incident, the two security guards involved in the incident, Patrick Anderson and Russell Mine, filed a lawsuit against Franzek, Blem, and guitarist Christopher Link in a Clark County District Court. So, yeah, they're getting sued.
Now, the bassist you said was Kalon Blem.
Blem.
This was the same bassist who was accused not that long ago of having sex with a minor, not to be confused with the band's drummer, whose ex-girlfriend claimed that she was raped by him, or the frontman, Chris Franzak, who was also alleged to have sex with an underage person.
Yeah, they are the classic metalcore band who's overstayed their welcome, and they only have fans who are 14-year-old girls, so it's just like, you know, one thing leads to another, of course.
Warp Tour core.
Boys will be boys, okay? 48-year-old metalcore men will do what they do. The security guards are claiming that they suffered injuries to their heads, necks, backs, shoulders, all or some of which conditions may be permanent and disabling in nature, which is the kind of phrasing you want to use when you want to get a good payout, but I don't know if that's true. I think these guys went to bed that night totally fine.
Franz is 31 years old.
31.
A hard, hard 31 years old.
Yeah.
The road is owning this man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 33. I can't talk, but I'm not in a metalcore band and I'm not messing with underage girls. So, you know,
you also don't have face tattoos.
Not yet. That could change at any time, but not yet. No, I don't have face
tattoos. What are you going to get tattooed on your face? What, like a Denny's logo?
I'm going to get Franz's entire face, tattooing my face, replacing my face.
Yes. The hat trick tattoo. Yeah,
right. I'm going to get, his whole face tattooed to my face, complete with his face tattoo and neck tattoos. It's going to look great. I don't know how my beard coming through that itty bitty bit of stubble that he's got is going to look, but I don't know. It'll be fine. We'll figure it out. Man, I'm looking at these guys. What a bunch of chodes. This guy with the pink leather jacket. Hate it. Very stupid. Two guys with pink leather jackets.
They are who we thought they were.
You know what? It could be white leather jackets and it's just the lighting, but as far as until proven otherwise, it's a pink leather jacket.
Way to make me side with security.
Yeah, I know. I fucking hate security. We've had run-ins with security at shows, you and I. It's just they're like just universally the world's worst assholes, and I don't necessarily doubt that they were acting this way with Attila fans, but have you met Attila fans? Have you just, I mean, God, I don't know who to side with. It's just like two huge groups of assholes just clashing together, you know? Who could be right?
Security guards are cops with even less power.
It's just cops who want to be, the thin yellow line.
It's, you know, we've seen countless videos on YouTube, possibly even seen it live, of security guards getting rough with crowd surfers and moshers, and the bands having to call them out or sometimes stop the songs, or in this case, jumping on security guards. I don't know. It just seems like a bad idea. I get it. I get the impulse to want to do it, but there are better ways to doing it than sucker punching people multiple times and then throwing a hissy fit.
And look, at the end of the day, you guys are Attila. You're not Guns N' Roses. I don't think that you guys have countless funds on retainer to deal with your frontman having a meltdown of that sort of nature. I'm sure that if there is any, I mean, they'll probably settle for some, some kind of sum of money that they can afford. But man, if these guys really got what they wanted out of you, I don't think you guys would still be a band.
Yeah, I'm sure the label or management will cough up a couple of $1,000s here and there, and Franz can dip into his OnlyFans account and, you know, connect some of the dots, and that'll be that. It'll happen. And once shows come back, they'll probably do it again at some point.
If he has an OnlyFans account, I'm definitely going to subscribe just so I can use whatever photos I find for the headers for the remainder of this show. Just whatever I want. I don't know.
Just yes, he definitely has an OnlyFans account.
Oh.
Daddy Franz.
Daddy Franz. Great. Now
there's YouTube. After Googling it, there's a YouTube video right underneath it. I got Franz from Attila's OnlyFans, so you don't have to.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. I mean, hey, man. Hey, all the power to him. Money where you can get it, you know? If he's got the bod, then by all means. Not to say that I don't have the bod either. I could start an account if I wanted to.
If you want that, it's what's most cost effective. You buy an Attila song or an album or a picture of his spread asshole.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I feel like I would do really well because I have a horrible body, and I feel like just the worse the content I'm able to provide, the more niche the market, and therefore the more people are willing to pay for it when they want it.
This people being body positive for you.
Right. Yeah. I need all the positivity I can get.
Lifting you up, giving you money every month because you're doing your thing.
I would need a lot of help getting lifted up. Let's just say that. Moving on, as far away from this as possible. It seems like only a week or two ago we were talking about people wanting Metallica to play the Super Bowl. Something that I've heard for years and years and years, if not decades and decades, with the few decades that I've had, is this constant need to have a band like Iron Maiden just inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And whenever I hear this rant, it is massive Metallica must play the Super Bowl energy. It's just, it's so off base. It's like a complete misunderstanding of what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is and who it's there to really represent, which is pop music. It's always been that way. But apparently Iron Maiden were in a legitimate sort of running for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in the 2021 induction Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It looks like they left it to a fan vote. Do you know anything about that? Have they always just gone by fan votes, or was it just like nominations based on like closed door deals?
I think the nominations, at least in recent years, have been closed door, you know, journalists and industry professionals nominating bands. And I believe the cutoff is you have to have a single or an album before 1995, which is why you might not see modern bands on it quite yet. But I think that gets pushed back, or pushed forward rather, every year. But I think it's something I don't know about the fan voting. That seems new to me and seems like a bad idea.
It's always a really bad idea because you just need to have the right amount of fans aware of the voting process. And if you got a band who has that social media presence, it that's who wins always. It never has anything to do with the actual quality of the music. It's how Jay Weinberg from Slipknot was voted like the best metal drummer, and that was in a news cycle for a week or so.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm talking, it's just like some random website that has no authority on that fact of the matter, but they come up with a list of modern metal drummers, and this is like metal drummers from all over, and everybody picked Jay Weinberg because Slipknot has the biggest social media following.
This is why we're going to get Bodie McBoatface as the next Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee.
So let's go down the list here, because Iron Maiden's on the list, and I think that means we have to, as metal journalists, real metal journalism, we're involved in this now. We don't have a choice.
Sure. How do you view the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Do you think it just should just be the Music Hall of Fame at this point, since you have Run DMC and like Madonna and non-rock and roll acts?
Well, I guess I would first have to do 10 seconds of Googling to find out if there is a more generic Music Hall of Fame. But I don't know. It's just a big building that you can have your band photo taken in front of if you want
I mean, at this point, it's like, do you just make it the Music Hall of Fame, or do you just say, no, only rock, and then you make a hip-hop and rap Hall of Fame, a country Hall of Fame? Because I think there probably is a country Hall of Fame, right?
I mean, like, there's no sports Hall of Fame. There's basketball Hall of Fame. There's baseball Hall of Fame. So I feel like that's probably the way to go. You get, like, a hip-hop Hall of Fame, and you put it in, like, Brooklyn, New York, or Queens, New York, or something, and just, you know, that's where that is. And then you have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and you know, it's, like, all over the country, depending on the importance of the genre in that area. That's where you put that Hall of Fame. So
just to franchise different Hall of Fames.
Right. So, I mean, I know very little, very, very little about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and who runs it, who's in charge of it, who makes the decisions to decide who gets inducted and what are the reasons for getting inducted, things like that. It's one of those things where I pay a lot less attention to it than, say, like the Grammys or something, just to give you some kind of insight. Like, it's just not anywhere on my radar, so it does nothing but confuse me when I get news about it. I just don't, you know.
And yet every year we always end up talking about it, and I say we in like the collective version of it, because sure enough, there's going to be, especially as the years go by now, more metal bands are going to be included, and there's always this split of who cares about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I absolutely want this band to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but if they don't get in it, who cares about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? And it's happening again now with Iron Maiden.
Right, but there's always that split where it's like, wouldn't it be great if Iron Maiden got in, but I don't care if they don't. But then you got the outliers, that third group of rabid dogs on the internet just piling in on all the comment sections, saying how Tina Turner is not rock music. Carole King, Fela Kuti, they're not rock. Iron Maiden is true rock and roll. And it'll be a fucking crime if you do not induct Iron Maiden. I'm going to see that everywhere. I'm going to see that more than I want to see anything else. You know,
read every comment like that in Eddie Trunk's voice.
I don't know. Eddie Trunk sucks. I can only give him a voice of what I think a person who sucks looks like. So sounds like. So I gave it away as far as a couple of these, but we'll go down the list again. So currently in the running, we have Fela Kuti, who I've never heard of. I'm just going to be honest. We heard about that. Apparently he is a 70s musician from Nigeria who played jazz, and I'm probably going to be torn apart in any given internet section for not knowing who this is, but I'm just that metal, man. I'm just that out of touch.
How do you not know an artist from the 70s that you never listened to?
Right, that was
Poser.
Yeah, like his greatest music was made years before I was born and had no radio time anywhere around me. So there's that. Coming in at number 10, and he's got, at the time of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's last post, when it was talking about the current standings, he has 147,111 votes. Coming in second, closing the gap, we have Tina Turner, the late, great Tina Turner. Know who Tina Turner is. She has 123,302 votes. Now, I think Tina Turner would be, especially...
I think Tina Turner's still alive.
Is she? No way.
I believe so.
I'm having a Mandela.
You might be thinking of Whitney Houston.
Tina Turner is definitely still alive. Oh my God. Who am I thinking of? And I'm not thinking of Whitney Houston. There's no way I'm thinking of Whitney Houston. There was like another big belting lady who... shit. All right. She's alive. Tina Turner, love you. Thank you for staying with us at the ripe young age of 81. Thank you for all you do. Of course, you were very not dead. Of course, you're not. So Tina Turner. But I think that would be a controversial win if Tina Turner took it, because she's not rock and roll. So like, you would get a lot of comment section heat, especially from the Iron Maiden fans or even the Foo Fighter fans, who's coming in at number 3. Foo Fighters beating Iron Maiden, 91,800 votes. I feel like there's not enough people getting involved in this.
Like not for enough voting
people,
or for
yeah,
fans?
Right. Like not enough people know about the vote.
Where do you even go to vote?
Right. There's a million votes cast so far. Still deciding who to vote for? Visit the link in our profile to read up on the 2021 nominees. I'll get you guys that link in a second here. But yeah, so we got Foo Fighters coming in at number 3 with 91,800 votes. Pretty distant number 4, we have Iron Maiden, the band that brought us to this discussion. Iron Maiden with 79,316 votes. And then under them is Carole King, who's pretty damn close with 74,000 votes. So Iron Maiden could be dead last in this fucking five-way run here.
Well, I think they should be included in any rock guitar-based museum and award show. It is kind of funny to see some of these middle-aged metal fans being upset about them not winning. I mean, this is more content than them getting in, because you're going to get think pieces and opinions about metal and rock being disrespected and how these young whippersnappers don't know anything about true heavy metal, et cetera, et cetera.
So I'll tell you what, I went onto the induction fan vote Rock and Roll Hall of Fame website, where you can cast your official vote. But in order to do it, you have to log in. You have to log in to rockhall.com. Why would I create a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame account? Why would I do that?
So the Foo Fighters can get in before Iron Maiden does?
I guess you can log in with Facebook.
That seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, like give the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame your login. But here's what I can tell you. We got a lot more names than the ones I just read to you. There's like a bunch of people you can vote for. And Iron Maiden is at the bottom of the list, beat out only by New York Dolls as the dead bottom. But let me go over just a few of these. We have LL Cool J as running. You could vote for Jay-Z, Mary J. Blige, Devo. Remember Devo?
Mm-hmm.
Rage Against the Machine, which, like, man, I feel like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is the machine. We should probably think about that one. And then, like I said, you got the New York Dolls there. And then the Go-Go's, Fela Kuti, of course. And everybody previously aforementioned. Todd Rundgren, also. And Chaka Khan.
I feel for you, Chaka Khan.
Yeah, Chaka Khan, come on. Wow, I guess you can vote for up to 5 different people.
I mean, why bother? I'm just gonna vote for Foo Fighters.
Yeah, it's like that ranked voting they were trying to pass in Massachusetts during the last election.
If you don't like this person, you can vote for this person second, and maybe they'll win, and you'll feel slightly less bad.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. Everyone, I heard someone flipping out, or I saw someone flipping out on social media about that, and so I told them, like, maybe I don't want to give Donald Trump any vote. So,
yeah.
Right, it makes no fucking sense to me. So, I think it's about that time where we should cover probably the biggest news of the week, the greatest single happening in all of heavy metal to occur probably since 2021 rolled around. Metallica did a streaming concert kind of thing, like in their band space. They performed a show for BlizzCon 2021. Because this year's BlizzCon, like most events, is being held remotely. Now, for the one guy who doesn't know what BlizzCon is listening to this show, BlizzCon is just the convention for the video game publishing company Blizzard. And at these conventions, they usually showcase the trailers for the brand new video games they have coming out. So I guess
they really need their own convention for this? Because isn't it like a physical thing that lots of people go to?
Yeah, usually it's a physical thing. They have thousands of attendees. Absolutely, man. It's like a huge deal.
Can you imagine that for like Nuclear Blast Con? You just go and listen to 30-second clips of the upcoming At the Gates album or something like that.
I mean, hey man, gamers, they're a different breed. Let's just say that. You know what I mean?
Nurgle comes out on stage and with a black turtleneck and unveils his latest Outlaw Country cover album with the douche from Shining.
Well, it just sounds to me like you got a $1 million idea on your hands. I think we should get in on it. I think there should be a Nuclear Blast convention. Absolutely.
Do it for Roland. A Napalm Records con. Not a Profound Lore con, not a Season of Mist con. Just go down the list of ones not to have.
Well, I think with Blizzard specifically, it's like a quality over quantity thing. They don't publish a million games like some of the other big publishers. They just like they'll put out something like World of Warcraft or Overwatch and Diablo and just have kind of those few titles out there. And those titles are like a lot of it's online based, so you have these huge swaths of people who just play these games every day. They stream the games. They just like they become this multi-million dollar, if not multi-billion dollar enterprise on any given video game that Blizzard puts out. So it's just they have all these rabid fans who, like, you'll see the weirdest guy you've ever seen in your life walking down the street in a Blizzard shirt because he just loves Blizzard so much. And that guy, there's enough of that guy to collectively around the nation come together and have thousands in attendance for this stupid convention.
And just not be bothered by Blizzard's long history of crunch time and burning out their workers and unpaying them and sexual assault allegations. You know, it's like the record company.
Let's not forget
ignore all the bad stuff. Listen to music.
Let's not forget how they banned a player from competitive playing because, and this was a Chinese player they banned from competitive playing because he said something negative about the Chinese government. And because Blizzard wants to be friends with the Chinese government, they banned him.
Upset their masters.
That was really cool. So the meat and potatoes of the discussion, of course, is Metallica playing the streaming show for BlizzCon. Now,
how much did that cost Blizzard?
I can't even imagine, dude. I mean, what's a Metallica ticket cost if you or I wanted to go see them? Hundreds of dollars.
And unless one of them is a big fan, like Lars is playing Overwatch all the time, I assume it's just kind of like those corporate gigs where some Raytheon pays Henry Rollins to come to their retreat and give a positive speech.
Yeah. It's wild to me that this was a thing like already. Like, I already think that's news. I think that's hilarious that Metallica did this like sad streaming performance for this sad streaming convention so that sad streamers could sit there on their sad streaming site watching this from their computers. Man, like I said, the pandemic's been too fucking long.
We talked about it at the big, I don't mean to keep cutting you off.
No, sorry, it's okay.
We talked about this at the beginning of the pandemic when bands started to think about doing live streams, and we had one or two. Like, why wasn't Metallica doing this once a month where they just have even an open stream and people can donate money to whatever their charities are, or something like that? Because it's Metallica. They can have all the money they want. They have so many people at their disposal to be able to put this thing together. And like watching these BlizzCon videos, it's not that great. Like, some bands have actual stage setups with lights and visuals, and it's just like they never moved on from Garage Day.
Yeah, this is
still in the garage.
This is definitely the garage. Like, if you guys had ever seen the movie Some Kind of Monster, it's like that shitty space that they have where they're just like, they might as well be practicing. We might as well just be watching Metallica play a practice. That's how they're dressed. That's how it looks. These guys look like they barely rolled out of fucking bed for this. Just t-shirt, jeans, the whole deal. So I guess how this works is the convention was streaming on Twitch. Now, I think there's some kind of algorithm or some kind of just automatic protection where if ever copyrighted music should be played during your stream, some generic music just starts playing to cover it up. Like, your stream gets muted and some just generic Twitch music starts playing over the stream. Now, I guess
elevator music.
Exactly. So I guess what Metallica was playing in the moment kicked off this algorithm. Like, just somehow, maybe they were playing For Whom the Bell Tolls and just Twitch caught on that this was copyrighted music and they caught on the beat or whatever. I have no fucking clue how the algorithm works, but apparently it cut off Metallica's music during the live stream and started playing like the just most hilarious, inappropriate, twinkly music while these guys are just going off. I mean, you see like red faced, just head banging and just really getting into the groove of what they're doing. And all you can hear is just ding, 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 ding. It's just so fucking funny.
You could play a sample of it, right?
Yeah, I absolutely can. Let me paint you the picture because you're listening. So you got Metallica,
the biggest band in the world.
Biggest band in the world. Biggest metal band. This is a tweet from Rod Breslaw. I don't know who the fuck that is. @Slasher. He tweeted, the current state of Twitch, the official Twitch gaming channel, cut off the live Metallica concert to play 8-bit folk music to avoid DMCA. It's not 8-bit, but here it is. It might as well be Christmas music.
It's just so funny.
It's just actively hilarious. And I'm sure, you know, you're trying to watch this whole performance and all you can hear is this sort of stuff. Here, I'll share this with you one more time. Let's see if we can get a beat on that. No, maybe not, but you just watch these guys going at it. Oh, man.
It's just funny watching Lars, like, play his very aggressive face while doing the simplest 4-4 with this music over it.
Yeah, well, For Whom the Bell Tolls, indeed, you got some little chimes going for you, so that's fun. That's great.
And it all works out because during the Napster days, they were mad about their music being taken by people, and now DMCA bots and algorithms that pick out stuff that isn't actually what they're looking for and getting videos taken down, it kind of affected them. Everything comes full circle.
It's all full circle. It's just one huge vicious irony that after so many years of fighting for DMCA and just making sure that music and artists and everybody gets their fair share and everything. I mean, I'll take that back. That's not what the fight was for. It was making sure the people on top got the money that they thought was owed to them And nobody could listen to music for free.
You owe us money for the memory that remains. You're gone.
And the people who were in charge of the programming and the insight and the sharing of modern music, like, I mean, the people who developed Napster, essentially creating the model for how we listen to music as consumers for probably the rest of history, they got sued into the ground and buried forever. Like, nobody, Napster is not a household name anymore, you know? So, now we have Spotify and we get to listen to music for free, but at the cost of everybody. It's like just a horrible platform. It's a horrible way to consume music, but I mean, it's just, you show me two doors, and one door I got to pay $10, the other door I got to pay nothing. Which door am I going to go through?
Or you can just go to YouTube and make sure no one gets anything.
That's also valid. But the people who do get something on YouTube is the fucking 7 advertisements every 11 seconds of video I get to watch.
Bro, you don't lose weight and get mass from cardio. Stop running.
I have
a
secret.
Are you afraid your balls smell? Well, try this.
Oh my God. I have just the worst YouTube ads. They're all based on
people,
like,
over the age of 50 need to not eat cheese. That's a real one I saw recently.
I get political ones. I get fucking just, I mean, the thing is, like, I'll look up cars on YouTube as far as, like, you know, talk, like, I'm into people who can race cars and upgrade cars and things like that, so I'll watch that stuff. But because I watch that, that means that, you know, the Lexus holiday sales event, buy the latest, slowest, most boring Lexus you can possibly buy, release it for $50,000 a month. Oh, and I'm just like, dude, it's not what I'm doing. It's not what I'm here for. Please don't show
me this.
I've been
seeing a lot of fancy Lexuses, Lincolns, whatever, being connected to Alexa or whatever program or system that you use to, like, turn your car on while you're getting ready, or to, like, heat up the seats, stuff like that. And that just seems like a really bad idea.
Oh man, like having the whole Big Brother thing in your car, that's fucking awesome. It's like, dude, I just want one that goes, like, starts and drives, just takes me to work. I don't need to be owned every second of my day. The only freedom I fucking have is when I'm just, like, driving to work and listening to music, or so I thought. So that's a bummer. That's a bummer. I don't want that.
It's going to be cool when cars start getting hacked and viruses, and instead of taking you to work, it just takes you to the Bitcoin factory.
I mean, you got all those autonomous vehicles getting developed, and you have, like, autopilot with Teslas now and everything. Yeah, it's like, dude, sometimes I just want to drive. I don't want to do the rest of this shit. I just want to listen to Metal Music Jordan and I want to drive. That's all I want. That's all I want out of life. Just, it's all I have to look forward to, is just drive and maybe cruise, maybe go fast. It's all I want to do.
Maybe go by your old high school and see how things are doing.
Oh, they demolished my old high school. I think I'd fucking,
what did you do?
I guess they built a newer one on top of it, but they demolished the whole thing. Like, where I used to take classes, it was just like a bulldozer drove through it. And I missed the date. I was going to, like, cheer when they blew it up, but I missed it.
Pop open champagne.
Right, right. I don't know, man. It's like, it's going to come to a point when I'm trying to listen to some Metallica music, but because I'm violating some DMCA protection, it's going to have, like, chimey bullshit music. And
part of the reason why we're not on Spotify is because of DMCA, because we have songs at the end of these shows. And I think when Joe initially tried to get us on Spotify, he just went, nope, this is someone else's song. Can't do it. Bye.
Which is strange, because we get on iTunes fine. We don't seem to have any problems with iTunes. We haven't had any issues with iTunes, and I've kind of always wondered about that. So whenever I put music on the show, at least nowadays, maybe I used to just, like, get random songs that I had available and I didn't care where they came from, but now I try to pick songs that are from people who sent us emails or just are very, very low on the totem pole. Because not only do I think the exposure is important, but dude, I just don't want to get fucking sued.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably like a Power Trip song or something where enough people knew to put it in an algorithm to pick out.
Right.
Something like that. Then it's just, you're done forever.
Right. It's just like some kind of Warner Music Group umbrella situation. It could have been anywhere. All of the stuff we played. I mean, God knows we played clips of songs to make fun of them.
Yeah.
We had that show. True. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just, it could be fucking anything. But I miss when the internet was wild. You know, like I miss, like, honest to God, YouTube from 2007, regardless of how horrible the quality of everything was, I could watch an entire TV series on YouTube and it was fine. Just, you cannot do that shit at all. You will have
in the golden age of FMVs where you had Goku powering up over Linkin Park.
They're gone. No more Linkin Park AMVs.
Remember your history.
Right. So I don't know, man. I don't like the way this is going. It's just like, I feel that every year it gets worse and worse. Like, we get funneled to 3 websites, 4 websites maybe, and just a couple apps. And they control the internet right now. I mean, everything that you get on the internet is through those apps. They control what you get to see, what you get to click on. I wouldn't know about any given blabbermouth.net article unless it was filtered to me through Twitter or through Facebook or through Instagram or whatever. It's not like I mean, back in the day, we used to be used to doing things like typing in www.blabbermouth.net into our URL just in the morning, like whenever, like we didn't, like, obviously you and I will do it now because we want to look up some rock news for the show. But I don't think about doing that anymore. I barely use my URL search bar. It's now like I'm just fucking on Twitter or I'm on Facebook. And I just feel like as the years go by, these powers that be that make me feel this way and make me stay on these sites and control what I can listen to, when I can listen to it, all that shit, it's just getting worse and worse.
Yeah, it's all algorithms and watching what you look at, and even sometimes when you say things, suddenly you'll get an ad on Instagram or Facebook, and it's happened to me before, and it's kind of deeply disturbing. I think also with like Twitter, the same thing happens. I just a couple days ago, I made a jokey tweet about All Elite Wrestling and how they initially posed themselves as the sports-based, you know, competitive wrestling company that had wins and losses counted, and there was different systems for ranking, and now they're doing an exploding barbed wire death match. And I just made some crack about that and then deleted it like 2 minutes later. I'm like, okay, I got it out of my system. I'm now getting tweets from AEW wrestlers, even though I don't follow them. It's like a recommended tweet. So it's the same thing with metal. Like, if you dig into Twitter, the recommended, oh, you like heavy metal, here's a picture of Kiss, here's Metallica news, here's Blabbermouth, you know. It's not given to you. You have to look hard for your favorite Bardo methodology racist interview.
Oh my God. Yeah.
They make you work for it.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about with the recommended tweets thing. I feel like 30% of my timeline is the people who I actually followed on Twitter. And I follow the better part of 1,000 human beings on Twitter. I don't just follow stuff. Some people just follow like, oh, I like Iron Maiden, I'm gonna follow Iron Maiden so everyone can see that I like Iron Maiden, I'm an Iron Maiden fan, look at me. I don't do that. I specifically follow back people that I know have an opinion and a face, and I follow 900 of these motherfuckers, and I want to hear from all of them at some point. Otherwise I wouldn't follow them. So for me to see like 11 of those people and then just constant bullshit, that's a little frustrating to me. because it just it feels like I can't make the adult decision to follow who I follow.
You're missing out on all the shirt checks and post a picture of your energy from your phone.
I feel like I'm not missing out on that. I feel like maybe you're missing out on that. That's all I get. I want to see the other stuff.
I'm definitely not missing out on it because I don't have these things on my phone. I'm an old man. I don't have four pictures of random celebrities. I don't have a selfie from January 5th from 2015 just to post then and now. It's just not me.
But
I'm always stunned that people just have this at the ready.
Look, when they asked me to show a picture on my phone that had my energy, and I looked through my phone, and I had the picture of Ben Affleck with the shirt Believe in Boston, and he looks sunken face and tired, and he's just balancing and dropping Dunkin' Donuts drinks and munchkins in his hands. I mean, and he's looking at the camera just disheveled and terrified. I don't know, man. I had to share the energy. That's what it was. But I'm sure.
But again, why is it on your phone? Why do you have that at all times?
Because what happens is I downloaded it to send it to my brothers or something who live in Boston so they could laugh at it. And then I don't go back in my downloads and delete anything. It just all sits there piling up year after year.
Just taking up all the space on your phone because it's a picture.
Exactly. So I probably will at some point be made aware by my phone that I've run out of space, and at that point I will go through and start deleting stuff, but until then, you know, it sits there for moments like this. So,
and I have no room on my phone, and I actually got a message from my provider not that long ago that my phone will be obsolete in a year because they're switching to 5G. It's like, you're going to pry this phone from my hands.
Wait, what service provider do you have?
AT&T.
Really? I'm going to have to get a 5G phone unless... What the fuck? Fuck that.
Whatever, they're on Android 20-something. I'm like an S4. My phone is old. But it works. It does what I need it to do. I don't want to get rid of it. It has absolutely no room to update anything, but it's fine.
One more funny story about your phone, and then we'll go. So we were... years ago, Jordan and I had interviewed Baroness on their tour bus.
It was only like 2 years ago, but it feels like 10.
Years, decades ago.
Decades.
It's fucking back in the day. I'm talking early 1940s. Jordan and I had interviewed Baroness on their tour bus. At the very end, I was like, hey, guys, I'm a very big fan. Can I get a picture with you? And they're like, absolutely. Nicest guys. Nicest, best interview we ever had. And I got this great photo, allegedly, of, you know, these two guys, Sebastian and John Dyer Baisley, hanging out with me. And I was like, you know, hey, Jordan, take a picture of us. And I didn't realize that Jordan had a 40-year-old phone. So it's very blurry and dark. It's like an 8-bit photo, dude. You can upgrade your phone. It's okay, dude.
I need to figure out how to preserve some things on it. Like, I need to figure out how to preserve text messages and not just like screenshots of it. So once I figure that all out, I'll eventually get an updated phone, and I'm sure that I'll take blurry pictures too.
No, they're all great now. But it's a funny anecdote. It's still a great picture. Don't worry about it. But I didn't realize you were, some people are just like that. Some people, it's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If your phone's still working, it just keep using it, man. It's like, the rest of us are wrong. You're right. The rest of us are wrong to constantly just fall into the fallacy of obsolescence. You know what I mean? Like, it's all about just getting through life with the stuff that you need, not the stuff that you want. The rest of us are wanters. You're a needer. It's very different. So I think you're right. I think you're right to fucking dig your feet in the ground and hold on to your goddamn phone for as many years as you possibly can.
It makes and receives calls. It makes and receives texts. It has internet. It has a bad camera if I need it.
That's right.
I'm not making TikTok videos. I don't need an app for McDonald's to order quickly and give me points to get more McDonald's. So I become a McDonald's man. I don't know.
And probably
eventually I'll get one. It's not like I'm using a rotary phone. It's just,
Well, AT&T is forcing your hand here. So eventually when you do get a new one, you should download Twitter and you'll be flying on Twitter, and then you'll just tweet all the time. And then you'll get 7,000 followers, and then people will try to cancel you. and you'll live your best life.
I can just go on my phone now onto like Google Chrome and use Twitter that way.
Yeah, but you know, that's like a barrier of entry. It takes an extra second. That's the thing that I do when I quit Twitter. Like if I am taking like a month or two break from Twitter, all I do is uninstall it from my phone. And that little extra step of going on Chrome is enough to dissuade me.
You have to push two buttons instead of one.
Yeah, fuck that. It's fucking trash. I'm not doing that. I'd rather just put the fucking phone in front of my face, have my face, unlock it, and then show Twitter. That's like what I want. And it's possible on my phone. It's possible on my phone. Like my phone can do all that for me exactly in that process. It'd be like, okay, this is Brenton. Here's Twitter. Like I could have it set up that way if I want to.
And is it your secret Chinese phone that's definitely spying on you?
My secret Chinese phone that was definitely spying on me got deleted off the network, and it took my wife's phone down and off the network with it because of some fucked up new law. So I had to go out and buy a new phone. I had no choice. They forced her hand, man. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah. When my time comes, I will. Same thing with my car. I couldn't pass inspection, and it was too expensive to fix it. So I just cave in and got one from this decade.
That's the way to go. And I think people should do that with metal music too. If the band ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, I was giving people shit last episode for listening to Slayer. If you want to listen to Slayer forever, fine, listen to Slayer. Their music is still there.
But it's also okay to let it go.
Also okay to let it go too. I feel like we should come up with some sort of way to force people's hands. Like you and I should get on some sort of Spotify boardroom and just say, you know, listen, Iron Maiden has been around for 40 years. We don't need them anymore to be on Spotify. Let's go ahead and just delete all the Kiss music, all the Iron Maiden music, the Guns N' Roses music. Let's just make it because, you know, these new bands, they're not making money. So let's just funnel that money into new bands by deleting all the old ones off the internet. You can't have Guns N' Roses. You're not allowed to have Metallica. Metallica can't play at BlizzCon anymore. You got to get bands that are newer than Attila. Just Attila. The moment Attila started, they're the cutoff point. No bands that started around the time that Attila started are allowed to, you know, be able to have their music shared online. It all has to be bands just right after Attila. Hell, I'll give them the same year as Attila, except Attila. You know what I mean? That's the cutoff point.
Before Attila and after Attila.
Every band except Attila can be on the internet. How about that?
Okay, I accept that.
I accept that too. All right, everybody, I'm going to let you all go. Hopefully things get sorted out with Joe. He's having a really rough time right now. But we'll keep you posted on anything that occurs with him in the meantime. You can follow us on Facebook, Toilet of Hell. You can follow us on Twitter at Toilet of Hell. And of course, if you want to throw a couple bucks his way, it all goes to Joe first. So it's patreon.com/Toilet of Hell. And if you subscribe to that, there's a couple cool tiers where you can get some goodies, or at the very least you can get yourself some bonus episodes of us still talking in ways that you know, are maybe a little bit more fun, a little different than this. So hey, look into that. But other than that, I'll let y'all go. Keep it metal, and hey, we'll do the same thing next week for you. Take care.
Bye.
Not a droplet.
listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
A bear biting you from the bottom of an outhouse, and that's what I call a shitty situation.